Hey Rabbi Yisrael, good morning. Our limud halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah shleima b'korev of Yosef Dov ben Chayla. Hishtav refuah shleima b'korev b'soi shor choyle Yisrael. The Sefer Chofetz Chaim is missing from the shelves, so I just want... I want to share with you just one halacha, which is Nogea right now. Separate halacha, nothing to do with Hilchos Lashon Hara. We reached a point at Hilchos Lashon Hara where we're not sure exactly why Dvarim Nikorim makes a practical difference, why circumstantial evidence will make a practical difference. You can believe the story, we said, but you can't do much about it as a result of that unless you have Shnei Edim. So, okay, that's where we left that. We'll move on to the next halacha tomorrow. But just halacha, which is Negea Lemaisa at the moment, is as follows, because I think it's a chiddush. I think I've probably mentioned it before, but I just wanted to mention it again. And that is, I'm looking for the place. Today is the 6th of January.
Yes.
Yeah, and we started saying V'sein Talamota on the 5th of December. Yeah, so therefore, the halacha is that until 30 days, if you're not sure, you said Baruch Aleinu, and you're not sure, did I say V'sein Barucho or V'sein Talamoto, then until 30 days, until you've become used to saying V'sein Talamoto L'Barucho Pnei Adomo, then you have to assume Misofek. You have to assume Misofek that you probably said what you're used to. You probably said V'sein Barucho and didn't say V'sein Talamoto, and therefore, you have to go back. Yeah, you have to either go back within the bracha, or you say V'sein Talamotu L'Vrocha in Shema Koleinu, or after Shema Koleinu you go back to Boruch Aleinu, and after Shmone Esrei you'd have to daven Shmone Esrei again, right? Because as long as it's the first 30 days, yeah, 90 tefillos approximately, then we assume that you probably said what you used to saying the whole of the summer, and we assume you didn't say V'sein Talamotu. But today, which is now after the 30 days, it's a month since we started saying V'sein Talamotu L'Vrocha instead of V'sein Barucho. Now we assume that you are already used to saying the new Nusach. You've got used to it by saying it over and over again at each Shmone Esrei, and therefore if you were to sail your way through Boruch Aleinu, and afterwards you're not sure, yeah, did I say V'sein Talamotu? Did I say V'sein Barucho? Now you're entitled to assume that you said V'sein Talamoto. You got used to the new Twiller already, and therefore we assume that you said V'sein Talamoto.
Sorry, as December has 31 days, wouldn't this have applied yesterday?
It doesn't make a difference. There's a lot of discussion about it, because Mashiv Aruach, we say the same halacha, but you say Mashiv Aruach every time on Shabbos as well. Yes, so you get many, many more Mashiv Aruachs in 30 days than you get V'sein Talamotos. V'sein Talamotos is only 3 times a day on a weekday. Yeah, and therefore there are fewer days, but we say Brachos Lakel. There are some people who say you have to wait longer, and some people say 110 times. But Pashtus Ungenim El Halacha is 1 month, right? So the question is, it a month of V'sein Talamotos, or is a certain number of tefillos? Yeah. Anyway, that's the discussion. So for instance, those people who say that you can prepare yourself and cover yourself by saying V'sein Talamotu L'Vrocha 90 times, one after the other, and then afterwards you can assume that you said it the way the new way is. The chiddush I want to say to you is from the Bisrei Tshuva. Right? The Sefer Ishei Yisrael on page Resh Chav Vov brings down a Pisrei Tshuva, which I think is very important, because I know it can apply to me and it could apply to a number of people. And that is that despite what it says in the halacha about 90 times or about 30 days, yeah, about a month of saying the new one and then afterwards you make assumptions, if you know that you yourself are still saying the same bracha when you're on autopilot, yeah, and when you're not concentrating, you know yourself. It works the other way around as well. If you know yourself before 30 days that you automatically say V'sein Talamotu L'Vrocha by heart, yeah, then, by heart without concentrating, you've already got used to V'sein Talamotu, then you don't go back, says the Pisrei Tshuva. And if you know after 30 days that you personally, you do continue, so you're still saying V'sein Barucho automatically, then you would still have to go back, even Misofek, until you know for sure that you are that you got so used to saying the same talamot automatically that you wouldn't have said the same bracha.
Start of the Torahway, Northwest London, Monday, Vov Teve, 6th of January, Rabbi Zelig Weingarten, Shlita, finding positivity in all circumstances. This week's Torah response to knowledge of his Rosh Hashem, Ma'ar Chayolim, Amel Chamot, Shach Zul, Voltem, Shalom, Bim, Heiro.
Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Allow me to begin by saying that Golders Green is a wonderful place, and I particularly see it. I grew up here, and each time I revisit, I see it going mechayel el choyel, an upward trajectory of ruchnius. And I wish everybody here, they should be zoicha to go mechayel el choyel, both individually and the town as a whole, should all go from strength to strength.
Amen. Amen.
My visits here to the capital are usually in order to help Yeshivas Nezer Torah and Gateshead financially. And I'm privileged to be part of a wonderful moissed, and this isn't an appeal, this is just stating facts why I'm here. And I'd like to share with you a couple of incidents over this session today that illustrate how we need to find, how we can learn from Yidden who find positivity in all circumstances. So a fundraiser, by dint of what he gets involved with, has sometimes surprises and disappointments. There was a seasoned collector who I heard from, yesh haftaot v'yesh achzavot. There are sometimes surprises, and sometimes there are disappointments. You will all agree with me that if the first person who you visit gives you a handsome donation, it gives you a boost of koyach, it boosts your morale, makes you feel that you're ready to take on the task, face it. But if you go to the first person and he gives you a smaller donation, it sort of puts you off. But I want to tell you something. A few years ago, when I had such an incident where the first donor gave a very small donation, this Yid who I visited, he opened my eyes. When I got to his office, he explained to me that he's going through a difficult situation. The government have frozen his assets. He's going through a judicial procedure. They want to see if his business activities are as they should be. And during this time, he cannot really access much money. So I ask him, so how are you able to make ends meet? How are you able to pay for expenses during each week? And he said to me, what happens is I go with my wife once a week to the bank and we unfreeze the amount that we need for that week. So I say to him, I phoned you up to ask you for a donation for yeshiva. And you invite me, despite having such financial difficulties. Why did you tell me to come even? And listen to what he answered me. He says to me, what do you mean? So much has been taken away from me. Are you going to take away the mitzvah of tzedakah from me as well? And he went on to say, how he sees a light, a bright light in this darkness. Previously, he had spent very little time with his wife because he's running from here to there, pressured schedule. Now, because of this situation, he has to go with his wife to the bank once a week, and he uses that time as quality time spent together. He thinks it's the silver lining. He's very excited about the fact that he's able to spend time with his wife. Moreover, he says, my davening is incomparable to the way it was before all this. Previously, when I davened, I did a quick davening, in and out. Now I actually feel that I've got a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much so, he says to me, I'm worried that when this incident, when this difficulty passes, how will I relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Will it go back to restore factory settings? Will I go back to a scenario where I just daven in a very perfunctory way? And then he sends me a text a few hours later. In the text it says, wording of a tefillah that he has for when things get better, that he shouldn't lose his connection with Rabbeinu Shel Olam. All we can see in this story, again and again, maybe it was a small donation, but I learned a welt from him, a world I learned from him, to have the positivity despite a difficult nisayon. It's very, very easy to see what goes wrong in our lives, but the kunz is, the point is, the harder part, and it's truly our job, is to be able to find the silver lining in life's seemingly difficult circumstances. There is what appears on the surface to be a contradiction between Chazal's hopes for Esav. On the one hand, we know in Bereishis Chof Tes Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ve'enei Leo Rakois, the eyes of Leo were tender. She had been crying, Rashi explains, she'd been crying because the gas raid in the street, what they were saying was that Esav would be marrying Leah and Yaakov would be marrying Rachel. And she davened, her tears were in the hope that Rabbeinu Shel Olam would reverse that. Rabbeinu Shel Olam would make it that she shouldn't have to fall to Esav. So you see from that Chazal that falling to Esav is something to daven for, something to cry for, not to have to happen. But if you look at the Torah later on, Bereishis Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chof Gimel, the Torah is telling us the children of Yaakov who came to meet up with Esav. And the Torah numbers the children of Yaakov as 11. So we know that Binyamin hadn't yet been born on that encounter. But it's not 11 children, ask Chazal. There were 11 sons, but there was also Dinah. Where was Dinah? So Rashi tells us that Dinah was being hidden, was hidden by Yaakov Avinu in a box so that Esav shouldn't lay his eyes on her. And Chazal go on to say that Yaakov Avinu was punished for this. He was punished for withholding Dinah from Esav. Who knows? Dinah, had she married Esav, she would have improved him, she would have turned him around. So Yaakov Avinu is punished that Dinah had to fall to Shechem. And we need to ask ourselves a question. If it's okay for Leah to daven, to cry, not to fall to Esav, why isn't it okay for Yaakov to withhold Dinah from Esav? Why is Yaakov Avinu punished for this? Many years ago I heard an answer, and I apologize, I do not remember who I heard it. So it's nearly B'Shem Omroi. The what I heard is as follows. There's a fundamental difference between Leah and Dinah. Leah was brought up in the home of Lavan. She didn't have a backbone. She was worried that she didn't have firm enough roots to be able to stand up to the likes of Esav. And therefore she davens and she cries not to fall to the clutches of Esav. But when it comes to Dinah, Dinah is Bas Yaakov Velea. Look who Dinah's parents are. She's brought up in such a good home, in such a good setting. She indeed had the tools to be able to turn Esav around. And therefore Yaakov is held accountable, if we may say. Yaakov is brought to account. Why did he withhold Dinah from marrying Esav? What a different world we would have. What a negative world that we have because of Esav could have been reversed had Dinah married Esav. Think about it, what could have been? And Yaakov is held to account. And as a result, Yaakov has the challenge, has the agmas nefesh of Dinah falling to Shechem. In this vein, We can now understand an Ur HaChaim HaKadosh earlier in Sefer Bereishis. The Ur HaChaim HaKadosh, beginning of Parsha Toldos, he brings to our attention the wording of Vayehav Yitzchok Es Esav. Vayehav sounds like he'd worked on himself. He made himself love Esav. So Ur HaChaim HaKadosh explains that really and truly Esav was someone who was difficult to love. He wasn't the easy child. But Vayehav Yitzchok Es Esav. Yitzchok made himself. Grammatically, Vayehav means he made himself love Esav, as opposed to Rivka Oyheves, naturally Oyheves Es Yaakov. So Vayehav Yitzchok Es Esav, Ur HaChaim HaKadosh spells it out clearly. He put efforts into the love of Esav so that Esav wouldn't turn around as they do in modern parlance, saying, my father didn't love me. My father didn't care for me. And that's why I wasn't interested in Yiddishkeit. Yitzchok was worried about this point. And therefore Yitzchok, Vayehav Yitzchok Es Esav, he did all he could to imbue love into Esav, to imbue positivity into Esav, so that Esav's negative behavior could be overcome. The Ur HaChaim HaKadosh takes this further and he says, why did Yitzchok decide initially to give the brachos to Esav? Why did he decide that? And the reason is, once again, another injection of positivity. Let Esav get the brachos. Let Esav get the opportunity of a negative person being imbued with positivity. Let things turn around. I want to share with you another encounter that I had with positivity, again, during fundraising. So it was a few years ago. The way I go about it normally is to phone potential donors, and usually if I'm lucky enough to get them on the phone, they say, yes, Emitz Hashem, send me a link, give me the details, and they hopefully respond in kind. The thing is, on one occasion, the fellow who was very forthcoming on the phone, I look in the bank accounts and I see nothing coming in. A week passes, 2 weeks pass, and I thought, okay, it's about time for a reminder. You know, sometimes the phone feels very, very heavy to pick up. This is an example. You want to remind someone of his kind pledge that he wanted to give to a yeshiva. You pick up that phone and you say, listen, I'm not a con man selling stained glass windows. I'm selling a yeshiva. I'm selling ruchnius. And I pick up the phone and he says, I actually did make a donation to Yeshivas Nezer HaTorah in Israel. Are there two yeshivas with the same name? So I said, yes, there are two yeshivas. There's one Hasidic yeshiva, Nezer HaTorah in Yerushalayim, and there is another one, a relatively new one, which has actually been around for more than 10 years, now in Gateshead. And, okay, don't worry, it's all okay. I sent him a text later in the day, and I say to him, so sorry for having caused you this agmas nefesh. Now, listen to what his response was. His response was, not an issue. Maybe it is a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I need to be giving more tzedakah. That's called framing a negative situation in a positive way. Of course, giving a donation to Yeshivas Nezer HaTorah in Yerushalayim is a wonderful thing, but if you're also going to want to give the same donation amount to another yeshiva, and you didn't plan to give away so much money in one time, then it is a little bit of a negative challenge, a bit of a challenge. And look how he responded. So there seems to be a common thread in what we've been saying so far. Finding the positivity in the negativity, Dina's potentially being able to turn around Esav, and therefore Yaakov Avinu is held to account for withholding Dina. Yitzchok wanting to give the brachos to Esav, Yitzchok finding all he can within himself to love Esav. And there's two stories which I've been sharing with you today. Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Keheles, in Perek Zion, Posuk Gimel,
Pasuk reads, Toiv Kaas Mischoik. So the Mefarshim explained the word Kaas means grief, challenges. Challenges are better than laughter. Challenges are better than a frivolous lifestyle. Ki beroya upon him yitav leiv. Because when a person has grief in their life, which causes them to have a roya upon him, a sad face, they feel challenged and they feel upset and it bothers them. But yitav leiv, says Shlomo HaMelech, it makes the heart go better if a person responds to the challenges, using it as a catalyst for growth, turning the challenge into something positive. That's much better than schoik, because the frivolous lifestyle doesn't make a person work on themselves. So it's not surprising. People make great strides after they are challenged. They are sent challenges, and with emunah and bitochen that they pick up because of their situation, they turn a negative situation into something positive. And David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, Oitchoki ani soni, vatehi li lishua. The literal translation of Oitchoki ani soni means, I thank Rabbeinu Shel Olam for answering me, vatehi li lishua, and it was to me a salvation. The Beis Halevi has a different explanation on Oitchoki ani soni. Oitchoki ani soni, he says, I thank Rabbeinu Shel Olam for afflicting me. It takes a great madrega to be able to say, thank you Hashem for sending me a challenge. But that's precisely what we're talking about today. The ability to transcend a challenge. The ability to take a negative situation and find positivity in it. Oitchoki ani soni. I thank Rabbeinu Shel Olam for afflicting me. Vatehi li lishua, explains the Beis Halevi, that very challenge, that very difficulty is a salvation to me because it makes me a better person. There's another understanding on this posuk of Toiv Kaas Mischoik, which again will bring out the importance of positivity. Shlomo HaMelech had a son called Adoni Yahu. Now Adoni Yahu was a rebellious son. David HaMelech had a son called Adoni Yahu who was rather rebellious. And the posuk gives us a little bit of an understanding in Melachim Aleph, Perek Vav, the posuk tells us, gives us a little inkling into understanding why he was a rebellious child. The posuk tells us, Veloy Atzovoy, which means that his father David never upset him. He never made him sad, which basically means that whatever Shefela wanted, he got. He was treated with kid's gloves. He was mollycoddled to the point that nothing could be. He never heard the word no in his life. Whatever he wanted, he got. So therefore, when he wanted to become king in his father's lifetime, he pushed for that too. And now, Shlomo HaMelech gives an understanding of this. What could have been better would have been Toiv Kaas Mischoik, rather than letting him be, giving him a carefree childhood, a schoik childhood, just enjoying life, getting what you want. Toiv Kaas Mischoik would have been better had David HaMelech put him in his place, giving him tough love, as they say. To being cruel, to be kind, should have happened. Ki beroya upon him, has had David shown a roya upon him, given him a face, would have shown displeasure. What would have happened would have been a yitav leiv, an improvement of the heart. Adoni Yahu would have made a turnaround. Maybe some of you know this story, but there's a famous historian, Reb Beryl Wine, who was once invited to a meeting with the editor of the Detroit Free Press, which is, for those of us who are Londoners, it's something similar to the Times newspaper. So introductions were made between the editor and Rabbi Wine, and the editor asked him, are you an Orthodox rabbi? So he says, yes, I am. So let me tell you the following story, says the editor. His mother emigrated from Ireland as a young Irish peasant 18 years old, she goes to live in the United States. To make ends meet, she applied to become a household servant in the home of what turned out to be an Orthodox family. The head of the family was the president of the local shul. The young servant girl knew nothing about Yiddishkeit and had probably never met a Yid in her time. The family went on a holiday on a vacation when it was the first year of this girl's helping in their house. So they left this maid with a little bit of money. During their absence, if any expenses would come up, she would be able to pay up for these things. Now, being that the family were not due back till December the 24th, she made a calculation that they're not going to have enough time to come back and set up Kratzmach trees as would be appropriate. And because of that, she decided to take the law into her own hands, feeling a big sense of Hakoras HaToiv. She was very happy with her boss. She went all out. She went and she hung up, she put up trees, and she put up lighting that demonstrated her absolute Hakoras HaToiv to her boss. As planned, the family returned on the 24th of December, and as this president drives up his drive, his heart is in his mouth, and he's thinking to himself, "Oy gewalt, what's going to be? How am I going to face the Kehillah? They're going to think of me that have other interests besides Yiddishkeit. How do I balance it all?" So, understandably, he was very, very worked up, and he enters his house, and he calls this maid into his office, and he says to her the following. He says, "In my whole life, no one has ever treated me to such nice arrangements, such a beautiful thing as you did. I really feel a debt of gratitude to you for what you have done. Thank you so much." And a sizable figure of $100 was given over to this young servant girl. After she's received this money, he then gently says to her, "By the way, we're Orthodox. Orthodox Jewish, and we do not have Kratzmach trees and lighting up in our house." The son of this maid, now the editor of the Detroit Free Press, turns to Rabbi Beryl Wein and says, "In my time as the editor of this Detroit Free Press, I have never allowed for an editorial against Israel, nor will I allow for an editorial against Israel as long as I'm in office." And this goes to show that because a potentially negative situation, he could have berated his maid. He could have told her off, roundedly criticized her. "Who do you think you are? You know, find out first what our beliefs are, what our religion is. Don't just take the law into your own hands." He could have really gone for it. And instead, he handled her with kid gloves in such a kind way. And as a result, a long-term positivity because of the way she was treated. So I'd like to finish off with Rashi's understanding of the previously mentioned Pasuk in Sefer Keheles. The Pasuk tells us, "Toiv kas mischoik," that anger is better than laughter, grief is better than laughter. So we know the famous Chazal that there's tzaddik v'ra'aloi, rosha v'toivloi. We see righteous people having it difficult, and we see wicked people living it up, and it bothers us. It's an age-old question: why are tzaddikim suffering so, and why are rishoyim having such a nice life? And the pasuk, as understood by Rashi, is coming to give an answer. Toiv kas mischoik. It's far better. There are better results by treating the tzaddikim to their challenges, by sending nisyonos, hardship, to tzaddikim. It's beroya ponim yitav leiv. They improve themselves. They go further. They grow in their ruchnias as a result of their challenges. And that's far better off than the Sechoik, the Rishoyim. They're not going to improve their life anyway. The Rishoyim are going to be down and out anyway. So you might as well let them have a Sechoik-filled life. You might as well allow them all the frivolity that they fancy. Allow me to finish off with a humble bracha. That it's not a chas v'shalom, a curse, but it's a metzius. It's facts of life that we all go through challenges here and there. And hopefully it's no more than here and there. But the challenges are supposed to be a catalyst for growth. Toiv kas mischoik. We hope that if there's difficulties, if we suffer hardship, that's better than sechoik. It's going to make us into better people. Beroy aponim, with the challenges that we have, when we have the roy aponim, so to speak, of Ribbono Shel Olam, he sends us, he seems to be upset with us, but he's really looking for our growth. May we be zoicha to constantly grow positively in all situations.